Welcome to the Small Business Report with your co-host, Carl Brown, the Executive Director of the DC Small Business Development Center, and Sharon Morton. They're bringing you all the tools you need to succeed. Stay tuned for expert advice for business owners, subject matter experts, and government agencies on how to start, grow, and finance your business right here at HUR Voices on Sirius XM, Channel 141. The Small Business Report will be right back with a show you don't want to miss after these messages.
Hey, Small Business Report listeners, are you a small or mid-sized business? Let BDPAtoday.com help you leverage emerging technologies and digital innovations to transform your business.
BDPAtoday.com will highlight your organization's innovations, solutions, and success stories. Let BDPAtoday.com publish your branded videos, blogs, and photos to a national tech industry audience and assist with your awareness-building campaign. With BDPAtoday.com, you can network with qualified and certified tech professionals and get access to developers, gamers, hackers, and interns to join your team for short or long-term projects.
Visit BDPAtoday.com for true digital transformation that will drive competitive advantage to your organization.
That's BDPAtoday.com.
This is HUR Voices on Sirius XM Radio Channel 141 with your hosts Carl Brown and Sharon Morton.
Welcome to the Small Business Report here on Sirius XM Channel 141. HUR Voices. In the studio with me today is Miss Sharon Morton.
Yes, I'm always here. Your sidekick, right, Carl?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. And look, we are. Go ahead.
We are so happy we have a special guest today, Sharon.
A super special guest. Super special.
Super special. So we have Miss Jovita Carranza. She is the 26th Administrator of the U.S. Small Business Administration.
Wow.
As a member of President Trump's cabinet, she advocates on behalf of the 30 million small businesses here in America. In her role as the administrator, she leads a team of professionals dedicated to ensuring entrepreneurs located across America have the support and resources they need to start, grow, expand their small businesses, and recover in the event of a declared disaster.
Yeah, we need that right now, don't we, Carl?
We need it, and yeah. We've been talking about this for so long.
Before the pandemic. Our small business owners want to know how they can grow and expand their small business. So they're getting expert information right now.
Couldn't get any better.
Right.
So prior to leading the SBA, Administrator Carranza served as the Treasurer of the United States at the U.S. Department of Treasury under President Donald Trump. Now, if you look at your dollar bills, her name is on there.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. That's why I said she's super special.
Super special. Right. Now, Administrator Carranza is out of Chicago. She's a Chicago native and the founder of a small business consulting company.
Okay.
Now, she previously served as the deputy administrator for the SBA under former President George W. Bush. And I can tell you this emphatically, she came in and hit the ground running and has not looked back. And many small businesses across the country have had pleasure of meeting her in her appearances around the country.
So we have the pleasure of having her on the show.
On the show. That shows her dedication to the small business community.
That's right.
But here's something else. This is like something special here. Before her first SBA appointment, Ms. Carranza had a distinguished 30-year career at United Parcel Service.
Wow.
Where she was the highest ranking Latina in the history of the company. She started out as a part-time night shift box handler and worked her way up to the president of Latin America and Caribbean operations.
Telling you, Carl, we're gonna have to talk to her about all of this, but we gotta go to break right now.
All righty.
I can't wait. I know I can't wait to talk to her either. So we'll be right back after these messages here on the Small Business Report on Sirius XM Radio, Channel 141.
Are you a business owner and your business needs a boost? Are you ready to build or grow a profitable business that delivers new clients and customers to you every month? Have your business highlighted on a national radio show or TV network. Let MortonMediaTV.com help you get the maximum exposure your business deserves so that you can get the customers you need. MortonMediaTV.com will help you start or grow your business rapidly through the power of TV and radio. You can reach hundreds of thousands of viewers and listeners who want to buy your product or service. At MortonMediaTV.com, our mission is to teach business owners how to use the media to their benefit. You can become a thriving entrepreneur and achieve the financial freedom you've always dreamed about. Go to MortonMediaTV.com and get your business on TV or radio for the maximum exposure you deserve and the customers you need. That's MortonMediaTV.com.
This is HUR Voices on Sirius XM Radio Channel 141 with your hosts, Carl Brown and Sharon Norton.
Welcome back to the Small Business Report here on Sirius XM Channel 141. And as we were talking in the intro about our special guests, I mean, please, you know, strap yourselves in, pull your pens out, get your notepad out, take notes so you can learn and jot it down because you're going to hear some pearls of wisdom coming up. Mm-hmm. We have Ms. Jovita Carenza, the 26th administrator of the SBA. And, you know, I'm going to start out with this. Jovita, I know you've been traveling around the country talking to small businesses. What have you learned about their trials, successes, lessons learned through this challenging year?
It's been challenging.
Yes. And Carl and Sharon, you're exact on that term, a challenging, and it's very trying. However, what's really inspired me as I travel throughout the United States is the innovativeness of the small business owners, these entrepreneurs, and some of them even call themselves their serial entrepreneurs, which is a real compliment to that entire sector. You know, the small businesses represents half of the GDP, which equates to about $10 to $11 trillion. They also hire about 60 million employees throughout the United States. So, Carl and Sharon, this is a very essential economic engine for our national, not only economy, but our national security. So it's a real privilege and an honor when I'm visiting these small businesses. I go onto their premises. They share how they have been provided a lifeline, such as the PPP, the Paycheck Protection Program, yes, and how they've exercised some of the president's lifeline, including the Economic Injury Disaster Loan, which is also a funding for small businesses. So when the president, yes, put small businesses front and center and required that SBA and Treasury work together in supporting our small business sector, well, that's actually what I'm doing, Carl. I'm traveling throughout the United States, meeting with them and also meeting with their employees and all of the ecosystem that supports the small business community. So I'm really, yeah, impressed and really encouraged by the fact that not only are they sustaining their business, retaining their employees, but they're actually looking for new employees, Carl.
So yes. Wow, that's a good thing.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes, they are. Yes.
Yeah. Administrator Carenza, I wanted to ask you, you just mentioned the Paycheck Protection Program. The SBA approved a record amount of economic relief to help stabilize small businesses during the pandemic. Take us behind the scenes on what that process was like, the challenges you encountered, and how you succeeded.
That's a great question. I'm asked that all the time, Sharon. And all I can say is that when we were given the responsibility to develop very comprehensive relationships and partnerships with the lending community, mm-hmm, and also to engage and support the small businesses in the United States, which equates to about 31 million of them, our agency, which is very, very conditioned to being an advocate, a supporter, and also a provider of products and services to the small business community. However, not under these conditions called the coronavirus pandemic. Right. This was totally new. And also the total amount of funding that we were going to consider. So look at the scale of it. We were provided over $700 billion to provide to small businesses.
That's a big number.
Yes, at this point, we've processed about 5.2 million loan applications, and those represent small businesses. They represent their employees, the families of those employees, and of course, the community. The EIDL portfolio, that's another level of funding. Mm-hmm. They represent about, we've processed at least 15 million small business applications. We've approved millions of them and have already processed over $190 billion in that loan portfolio. So, Sharon, there's not enough words to really talk about the scale and right. the reach. The reach was very important for us because when I came on board at SBA, I was very focused, laser focused to be exact, to providing liquidity or access to capital and support to our underserved community. Right. So we didn't want to leave any community in America behind. So the rural, suburban, and urban, the veteran-owned, the women-owned, and just those kind of sole proprietors and independent contractors were also very essential right. in the reach of the PPP program.
Administrator Carranza, excuse me, I know you've made it your mission to prioritize helping underserved entrepreneurs access capital and succeed in today's economy, like you just explained. Tell us a little bit about your work on this front, getting access to capital to underserved entrepreneurs.
Because I'll tell you, that when they come into my center at Howard University, mm-hmm. the first thing they ask for is money. Right. And it's like, it must be a sign outside, go in and ask for $50,000, because that's what they ask for when they come in.
Yeah.
Well, Carl, access to capital for women has always been really difficult. Mm-hmm. So recognizing that the most significant value that I can provide for SBA stakeholders and clients would be to work very closely with the lending community, the micro lenders, and also access how our or assess how our programs are really performing in that area. So I'm really pleased to share that not only with the 7A portfolio, the 504 a loan option, as well as Community Advantage, we also put up a CARL loan, which is stands for Community Advantage, a recovery loan that was newly developed. In addition to like access to capital for women and minorities, in the minority areas, we are also very cognizant that this pandemic has hit the minority community very, very hard. And so a couple of things have occurred within the past month. 100 women business centers located across the country remain dedicated to securing economic and entrepreneurial opportunities for women. Under the CARES Act, we provided additional funding. We opened up a women's business center with the assistance of that funding. We actually opened up 7 new women's business centers. And wow. 2 of those, and I'm really proud to say, 2 of those are hosted by historically Black colleges and universities. So the first Women's Business Center at HBCUs was installed, and I was there as part of the ceremony. And one is at Morgan State University in Baltimore, and the yes. other at Benedict. Yes, and the other at the Benedict College in Columbia, South Carolina. And let me tell you, they know how to put up a spread when we were able to open up that HBCU / Women's Business Center. We had the community involvement. We had the mayor there. We had the state senator. I'm talking about all levels of government were celebrating those Women's Business Centers. So it made me really, really proud and very humble to be part of that event.
Wow, also, that's great.
We expanded lending community delegated lenders under the PPP program and yes. expanded that to 170 minority depository institutions. And as you know, we coordinate the delegation between Treasury and SBA. So we had a great partnership, a great focus. This administration was very focused on providing liquidity, you know, access to capital to mm-hmm. businesses in the underserved community. that also has the opportunity zone focus as well as hub zone. So I think we've made a significant impact in those particular areas. As you know, the opportunity zones represent 8,700 tracks within the United States. So when you have an infusion of funding like opportunity zone investment and hub zone businesses, as well as now the PPP and also EIDL, the fact that over $700 billion in addition to the other loan portfolios that we have is definitely gaining some momentum in providing stability to small businesses, both women and minorities.
Oh, yeah. And wow, that's a opportunities lot. Yeah. For employment as well.
That's right.
Because minority businesses tend to hire minorities as their employees. So it's a two-for in my book. So you have had a very impressive trajectory of going from the loading docks at UPS to leading the SBA and being a member of the president's cabinet. What advice do you have for small business owners who are hoping to achieve the American dream?
Well, you know, what I've learned all these years in the private sector, the public, and now as a cabinet member, it's that mentorship, opportunity, and exploring and amplifying and optimizing those two, mentorship and opportunity. You know, being an Hispanic woman and having such a key role in this administration as an Hispanic female, mentorship is very critical. I take very seriously, the fact that, Sharon, a lot of women look up to women leaders.
That's right.
And so every step I take has to be very calculated, has to be very strategic, and very correct.
Yes.
And so I take mentorship very seriously, and I can't speak enough about how this administration has targeted individuals with unique talents. You know, I come from a blue-collar family, and the fact that I've worked my way up to, based on merit, to this position, I hope I serve as an example to many young women and young men. You wouldn't understand this, Sharon and Carl, but men also ask me to mentor them and advise them. And so that's the biggest compliment for me, where I have both men and women ask if I could give them advice on professional acumen and career development, etc. Opportunity. Let me talk about throughout my life as a young girl in a working class community.
And Administrator Carranza, I hate to interrupt. I want you to talk about that on the other side of the break. We've run out of time for this segment, but we will be right back after these messages. You have a great story, and our small business owners need to hear it. So we'll be right back here on the Small Business Report on SiriusXM, Channel 141, HUR Voices. Hey, Small Business Report listeners. We've said goodbye to summer, and it's time for things to get back to our everyday autumn groove. With so much changing around us, it's difficult to find that extra time for you. With Plexaderm, all you need is 10 minutes and you can look 10 years younger. Plexaderm is a clinically studied serum that gives your appearance the right kind of changes. Visibly reduce wrinkles, fine lines, and even under eye bags in minutes. Take up to 10 years off your appearance in less than 10 minutes. The results will last for hours. Try a 6-application trial pack for just $14.95 with free shipping when you visit triplexiderm.com or call 800-685-1292 and use the code SMALL. This order comes with free shipping and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Make those wrinkles, lines, and under-eye bags disappear with Plexiderm. Visit triplexiderm.com or call 800-685-1292 and say the code SMALL at checkout.
Get ready for skincare and makeup that will heal your mind, body, and soul. SkinDeepBeautyStore.com is a totally organic and vegan skincare and makeup line that you'll love using, because what you put on your body is just as important as what you put in it. Choose from our organic moisturizers, anti-aging serums, natural and fruit-based scrubs, masks, lipsticks, and glosses. No more worries about harsh chemicals being absorbed into your skin. It's time to commit to your health and wellness. SkinDeepBeautyStore.com is your one-stop, cruelty-free skincare and makeup shop with safe and environmentally friendly ingredients for the love of you. Visit us at SkinDeepBeautyStore.com. That's SkinDeepBeautyStore.com.
Do you need expert advice from successful business leaders on how to start, grow, and finance your business? Tune in every week to the Small Business Report at HUR Voices on Sirius XM Channel 141 with your hosts, Carl Brown and Sharon Morton. The Small Business Report gives you, the small business owner and those thinking about starting a business, expert advice from successful business leaders around the country. Visit us at smallbusinessreport.biz and like us on Facebook. The Small Business Report, giving you the tools you need to succeed.
This is HUR Voices on Sirius XM Radio Channel 141 with your hosts, Carl Brown and Sharon.
And welcome back to the Small Business Report on Sirius XM Channel 141, HUR Voices. Administrator Carranza, can you finish the point you were making before the break?
I was speaking about opportunity.
Okay.
And throughout my life as a young girl in a working class community, as an executive leader at a global company, and now as a government official, I've seen the transformative power entrepreneurship can have on individuals. I've been dealing with small businesses or the business community for decades. I don't want to tell you how many, but definitely decades. And in very diverse communities, anywhere from urban to rural to tribal nations to, again, the suburbs as well. I've lived in many states and in many communities, many zip codes, and I can't speak enough about how the American dream can be realized in the United States. You know, I attended a naturalization event the other day, and I felt so proud speaking to individuals that were raising their hands and swearing their citizenship and gaining that one citizenship that people wait years and years for. Yeah. And I just saw the gleam in their eyes because I know that some of them are going to be the next entrepreneur. They're going to be the next professor.
That's right.
I just considered it a real privilege to be a second generation Mexican American citizen in the United States. So,
Administrator Carranza, I know that you and your family are so proud of what those citizens are doing when they come into the country and start businesses and hire other people. You know, that's the American dream. I wanted to ask you, for our small business owners who are listening right now and who are still facing some dire financial hardships, what is it that you can tell them, you know, that they should know?
Well, first, let me say on behalf of President Trump, myself, and the entire administration, including yourself, because you've dedicated this program to small businesses and their resiliency and, of course, their sustainability during these very difficult pandemic times. Our administration will not rest until small businesses recover fully and they thrive again in today's economy, as they did prior to this pandemic. So I've met a lot of businesses that are sustainable, that are growing, but I also realize, Sharon, that there are businesses that are going to have to start again. But the entrepreneurial spirit is one of resiliency, and they're very innovative. I've met businesses where they've just now pivoted because they weren't making enough revenues with their old business model. And now they're providing PPE, personal protection equipment. And now they're making or generating revenues and keeping their employees on site as a result of pivoting and being very creative, especially in our underserved communities. We're laser focused on helping women, veterans, and minorities access capital to start, grow, and expand. As a matter of fact, we have information that there are actually people that are starting businesses during these pandemic situations.
And absolutely. Yeah. I mean, 46% of the folks that are coming through my center right now are startups. 46%.
That's a high number.
Yeah, we're working with 623 businesses as of Sunday night when I got the report, and 46% of those are new startups, new enterprises. Well, so, Carl, yes, we see it.
When I talk to people about the importance of the SBDCs, and by the way, when I travel throughout the United States, I make sure I'm meeting with lenders, our resource partners like SBDCs and SCORE and Women's Business Centers, as well as the chambers. And specifically, I want to meet with women-owned businesses and veteran-owned businesses. And without failure, they will rely on an SBDC for the technical assistance, mm-hmm. for also mentoring on how they can reach or access a particular lender. SBDCs have been really vital during these pandemic situations. So I definitely have not a renewed respect, but an expanded respect for SBDCs. Yeah. You have 62 lead centers, and there's like over 900 service centers throughout the United States with SCORE, SBDCs, and Women's Business Centers. And so I hope that the businesses that are listening to your show right now know that it's not only SBA, but it's all the resource partners. And then we're deepening our relationships with the chambers, as well as the lending community, and the economic development offices that the governors have that are also providing assistance.
And yeah. You just talked about all the people that we have on the show.
Yeah,
we have the bankers come on to talk about how to qualify for funding, mm-hmm. loans, and we have the Chambers of Commerce talk about what the benefits are being a member of the Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had many of your staff come on and talk about the various programs that the SBA offers. I mean, we have a wonderful relationship with all of the folks you just mentioned. And we bring that to the small business community and those thinking about going into a small business every Thursday. We bring this to them.
And we bring small business owners on the show as well who talk about the benefits of, you know, the SBDCs and to talk about the highs and the lows of being a business owner. So, yeah, you're right on target.
Well, absolutely. Sharon, what I do during my tours out in the States is it's sufficient that media seek me out to inform people on whether it's the PPP forgiveness application or the EIDL situation or natural disasters or civil unrest disaster declarations and the funding for that. But I also want to feature the small businesses, not because it's an opportunity for them to market their business publicly and regionally, but more importantly, it's because their story resonates in the entire state about how they have rebounded or how they have been able to retain their employees because of the PPP program or the EIDL funding. And so those testimonials are very meaningful because that validates that SBA is doing their job and they're doing it pretty effectively. Because we have not stopped working, Carl. We started out in March at a 24/7 schedule, and we haven't paused yet because now we have to process the PPP that's remaining. That's over $130 billion as you know, Congress and the Senate are negotiating. The president's very anxious to get that money out to small businesses to provide support, another lifeline. The forgiveness application is now in process. We have been accepting applications. We have over 100,000 of them. We're going through some testing to make sure that that's a seamless process when it is executed within days. And so I just want to calm the waters with the lenders as well as the small business community that the forgiveness application is going to be a seamless process. We want, you know, my goal is to approve 99.999% of them. I only deal with maybe an exception here and there because of documentation or interpretation. But that's my goal moving forward.
So tell us why you are so passionate about SBA's collaboration and partnership with HBCUs, me being the executive director of the Howard University Lead Center in the SBDC world and a board member. You know, I love to hear about this because I'm passionate about it as a graduate of Howard University as well.
Right.
That, you know, you guys are supporting us. And I can tell you emphatically that the district director, Antonio Doss, and his team, Sheree Macklin and all of them, Rod Johnson and Dave Henkepe and all of them, work very closely with me and my staff. These guys, I can call them at any time. They're always available, always answering questions, always willing to do webinars or get on the radio show.
Yeah.
So, you know, and we love, you know, working with Alan Gutierrez and George Kukularis and all those guys. They are, you know, they answer our questions. They help us. They provide information, coaching, and mentorship. These, you know, this is, I'm in a dream job, to tell you the truth, because of all of the support that I get from the SBA and Howard University. It's a wonderful experience for me, and we're trying to produce. So I just want to hear about, you know, your passion with the HBCUs.
And we only have about 45 seconds, unfortunately.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the show is about to end.
Let me just say one thing, Sharon. Our nation's greatest jewel is the HBCU community. We've donated $5.0 million under the CARES Act. So there's not only the names you mentioned, Carl, but it's the funding that this administration has supported. It's really the support from this administration to make sure we are engaging every HBCU, especially during these pandemic periods. I've been dealing with Morehouse for years out in Georgia in my private experience. But then when I came on to SBA, HBCU is a way to reach the underserved communities, to really tap into very rare talent in these educational institutions. So I'm proud to say that I'm just as engaged as Alan Gutierrez.
Well, we're
very proud of you too, administrator.
We are very proud of you.
I'm happy to be on your team and in the role that I play at the SBDC, and you know, to see you come in and hit the road running. I mean, not looking back and executing and delivering for the small business community. It's been a pleasure working with you and your team. So thank you for being on the radio show.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Carl and Sharon. It's been a real pleasure. And someday I'll be in your studio.
Okay. Oh,
yes, ma'am. We're looking forward to it.
That's
great.
Right.
Thank you. Stay well. Appreciate it.
You too.
Bye-bye now.
And that's it for now, right, Carl?
Yes. This is the Small Business Report. We'll be right back after these messages. Hey, Small Business Report listeners, are you a small or mid-sized business? Let BDPAtoday.com help you leverage emerging technologies and digital innovations to transform your business.
BDPAtoday.com will highlight your organization's innovations, solutions, and success stories. Let BDPAtoday.com publish your branded videos, blogs, and photos to a national tech industry audience and assist with your awareness building campaign. With BDPAtoday.com, you can network with qualified and certified tech professionals and get access to developers, gamers, hackers, and interns to join your team for short or long-term projects.
Visit BDPAtoday.com for true digital transformation that will drive competitive advantage to your organization.
That's BDPAtoday.com.
This is HRR Voices on Sirius XM Radio Channel 141 with your hosts, Carl Brown and Sharon Morton.
Welcome back to the Small Business Report here on Sirius XM Channel 141. That was a great interview with the SBA administrator.
It really was.
It was, wasn't it? And now we got my boss from the Howard University School of Business, Dean Anthony Wilbon. And I'm so proud to have this guy on the show today. So welcome, Dean Wilbon.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome to the Small Business Report.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we're excited. Not a problem.
We are really excited. You know, you being, you know, newly installed dean of the School of Business for Howard University. So why don't you tell the audience a little bit about your background?
Okay. Well, I don't know how far back you want to go. originally from Michigan. I went to Michigan State University. I started my career in electrical engineering. My undergrad was in electrical engineering. So I kind of came about this deanship in a roundabout way. After graduating from there, I actually started working in various fields around engineering. I did work in radar systems development, satellite communications, and so forth. Originally started at the company called Westinghouse, which is north of Grumman up there by Baltimore Airport.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I remember that, Westinghouse.
Yeah. Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah.
but eventually I decided I wanted to do something a little bit broader. I was spending a lot of time doing very detailed analysis and wanted to expand myself a little bit. So decided to go and do my MBA and actually did my MBA at Howard.
Okay.
With an MBA. And at the same time I was transitioning, I was doing several consulting opportunities, worked at Booz Allen and Hamilton, a couple of companies like that, doing consulting, American Management Systems. And then from there, I decided I wanted to do something beyond that and really hone in on something very specific and decided to go do my doctorate. So I did my doctorate at George Washington University. And at the same time, I was actually working for the Federal Reserve Board of Governors in Washington, doing some oversight of the operations for the Federal Reserve Bank. It was, again, kind of a roundabout transition after I finished my doctoral program. Then I actually ended up in the academic field and went on to work at, started my career in academia and at Morgan State University.
Oh yeah, Morgan, okay.
Yeah, so you have both the private sector experience and some educational backgrounds, higher ed. That's mm-hmm. wonderful, that's a good thing. Yeah. So as the new dean of the School of Business for Howard University, what is your vision for the faculty, staff, facilities, et cetera?
Yeah, and especially the students.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I think Howard, the School of Business in particular, has a unique role in the business world. And I think primarily my vision, which I think is the broader vision of the school, is to create or educate a diverse set of leaders that it can go into the business world. Mm-hmm. And make a difference, particularly in this complex kind of global competitive environment we're in right now. So that entails basically, from my perspective, we have to kind of prepare the students, inform them of what this complex world looks like, which means we have to develop a curriculum that's intellectually stimulating and provides mm-hmm. them with the context that they need in order to go out and make a contribution to the world. We as professionals, African-American mostly, but other professionals, have to model what that looks like to the students, what the professional work world looks like. And we try to instill that in students by forcing them to dress a certain way and carry themselves a certain way as students. We have to inspire what that looks like so that when they go into the business world, they can make an immediate impact. And then thirdly, my goal or my role as the dean is to prepare the faculty and staff with the resources they need, they can get these students to where they need to be and do that mm-hmm. as efficiently and effectively as possible. And then lastly, my goal and my vision is to work with all of our external stakeholders and constituents and to make sure that they're prepared to receive our students.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, you know, so they understand, and that kind of goes to the context of what we're dealing with now with a lot of companies focused on diversity and inclusion. They have to understand exactly what it means to receive students into an environment that may not necessarily be prepared to welcome them. And so our role is to actually get those people, get those companies or those organizations to the place where they understand what it's like to operate in a diverse, inclusive, equitable environment.
Yeah. And you have a lot on your plate, it sounds like, and I know you're up for the challenge. But you were talking about, you know, we're in a complex global competitive environment. And today you can add to that, you know, a pandemic. And so tell us, how has the coronavirus affected the school, classroom, delivery of education, the students, your office, all of that? It's been a challenge for everyone, and I'm certain that probably includes the school as well.
Absolutely. The coronavirus has impacted everyone, and of course, the academic institutions even more so. We have, you know, if we go back and look at how even before the coronavirus, we were trying to make transitions because of disruptions in technology, disruptions in the general market, all the geopolitical issues we're dealing with, and particularly since we're in Washington, D.C., all the politics and the leadership issues that we're dealing with. And then we throw on top of that this coronavirus, which kind of threw everybody into a situation where they had to move very quickly to adapt to it. And so particularly in the School of Business at the university in general, of course, we had to move towards a virtual environment where all of our classes are online.
Right.
So all of our and that required us to do some training of our faculty to get them up to speed, to do instruction online, but also do it well and do it in a way that is not going to be a negative impact on the students. And even with that, we still have some challenges in making that transition. You know, we're faced with students who would typically be on campus, have personal interactions and social interactions they can engage in, but now they're sitting at home behind their computers 8 hours a day. And our faculty have to be sensitive to that.
Yeah.
And they have to understand how to teach in that environment and teach well and give the students what they need without overburdening them and creating other mental health challenges around that type of situation. So we're adapting, we're changing, and we're learning as we go, just like everyone else is.
I'm so glad you brought up, you know, the challenges, including mental health challenges, because a lot of times.
I am too, yes.
Yeah, a lot of times people don't focus on that. I mean, if you are no longer, you know, in touch with, you know, other human beings, you're not communicating with them, seeing them, you know, that's part of the whole campus lifestyle. That's one of the reasons why students love living on campus, so that they can meet other students from other parts of the world, other parts of the country. You know, so being stuck at home, like you said, behind a computer for 8 hours a day, that has to be super challenging. I know it is, you know, for the rest of us, but especially young people. And you, how do you address, or how do you have your faculty address the mental health part? Because that's got to be the toughest part of it for students.
Yeah, you make some excellent points. Again, I feel more so. Concerned about the freshmen, because again, you're supposed to go away, first time away from home, onto a college campus. As you mentioned, you're meeting people from all over the world, getting acclimated to trying to grow up and become an adult. And now all of a sudden you're at home, you know, you're sitting in front of your computer, you have your brothers and sisters running around, you finish your classes and your parents come tell you to take the garbage out. And so, you're really not a student in the traditional sense.
Right.
And so we recognize that, and we've been trying to instruct our faculty to be sensitive and to try to identify students who may be facing those challenges. One of the things that we've done, we've created a COVID relief fund we were fortunate to have some corporate sponsors give us some money to help us identify and support students who may be having financial challenges because of COVID, because they couldn't work or their parents had issues that limited their ability to work, or they may have technology issues or technology challenges. And so that particular fund is being used to supplement students who may be facing challenges around the COVID crisis. But in addition to that, we've asked faculty to try to keep an eye out for students who are not engaged or who are disappearing from classroom or for whatever reason are not showing up. And we're providing some mental health services around that and reaching out to those students to figure out, you know, what may be some of their issues or what can we do to help them as they go through this. We've had, you know, and we're learning this as we go along as well, because we've heard from students who are saying, you know, maybe I need to just take a break this semester because this is just too much.
Yeah.
So we're trying to help those students to get past this with the hopes, it's not looking good, but the hopes that maybe we can get back in the spring semester and get things back on some level of normalcy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I have two high school seniors.
Wow.
And they are afraid that they will graduate in June and have nowhere to go.
Right. Yeah.
You know, they want to go away to college, but they will, you know, may be sitting at home taking their college online.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember I had the option when I was going to grad school to take online classes or to go in person into the classroom. And I chose to go into the classroom because I like that debate and that challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was, you know, it wasn't until the end that I was forced to take some online classes and then realize, hey, this is not too bad. But it was my choice.
Right. Yeah. You know,
these kids don't have a choice.
They don't have a choice. We have to wrap up this segment. And kudos to the sponsors who provided the COVID relief fund. That was such a blessing. But we will be right back after these messages on the Small Business Report on SiriusXM Channel 141 HUR Voices.
Hey, Small Business Report listeners. We've said goodbye to summer and it's time for things to get back to our everyday autumn groove. With so much changing around us, it's difficult to find that extra time for you. With Plexiderm, all you need is 10 minutes and you can look 10 years younger. Plexiderm is a clinically studied serum that gives your appearance the right kind of changes. Visibly reduce wrinkles, fine lines, and even under eye bags in minutes. Take up to 10 years off your appearance in less than 10 minutes. The results will last for hours. Try a 6-application trial pack for just $14.95 with free shipping when you visit triplexiderm.com or call 800-685-1292 and use the code SMALL. This order comes with free shipping and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Make those wrinkles, lines, and under-eye bags disappear with Plexiderm. Visit triplexiderm.com or call 800-685-1292 and say the code SMALL at checkout. Are you a business owner and your business needs a boost? Are you ready to build or grow a profitable business that delivers new clients and customers to you every month? Have your business highlighted on a national radio show or TV network. Let MortonMediaTV.com help you get the maximum exposure your business deserves so that you can get the customers you need. MortonMediaTV.com will help you start or grow your business rapidly through the power of TV and radio. You can reach hundreds of thousands of viewers and listeners who want to buy your product or service. At MortonMediaTV.com, our mission is to teach business owners how to use the media to their benefit. You can become a thriving entrepreneur and achieve the financial freedom you've always dreamed about. Go to MortonMediaTV.com and get your business on TV or radio for the maximum exposure you deserve and the customers you need. That's MortonMediaTV.com.
This is HUR Voices on Sirius XM Radio Channel 141 with your hosts, Carl Brown and Sharon Morton.
You are listening to the Small Business Report here on Sirius XM Channel 141. And we have the pleasure of having the Howard University School of Business new dean, Dean Anthony Wilbon. Mm-hmm. So, Dean Wilbon, what makes Howard University special to me, but what makes Howard University School of Business truly distinctive?
I think there's, as you mentioned, there's a mystique or uniqueness to Howard in general that kind of rolls down to the School of Business. We take a great deal of pleasure in knowing that when a young man or woman comes into the School of Business or to the university, our goal is to nurture them and to help them grow to be the best person and potential professional that they can be. And I think we do that very well and probably better than anyone else, meaning that, you know, we have students who come to us. Most of them are very, very good academically.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them may have challenges financially or socially, but academics has never been their issue. Our goal is to take that kind of ball of clay and mold it. And I've seen it done numerous times where they come in as freshmen, wide-eyed, not knowing where they want to go or what they want to do. And by the time they become seniors, they are polished professionals and impress everyone that they come into contact with in the corporate environment, because mm-hmm. we take the time and implement programs that are teaching them how to be business people, how to be professional, how to be strong and confident, and how to grow in who they are. And in addition to that, if we fold in what Howard University provides, mm-hmm. And that is the importance of social justice and social impact, and folding that into the business environment. So they go out into the business world knowing that they can make a difference, and they have done that in tremendous strides.
And I second that, because we've had a few students on the show, haven't we, Carl?
Oh yeah, several alumni that are business owners out in the world right now.
Very successful business owners, as a matter
very
of fact.
Successful.
Yeah,
but I want to also point out that I was sitting in the room with the dean and several of the administrators at the university, and they were talking about every student that was in the School of Business knew them by name.
Wow.
And was able to talk about where they were going for the summer, where they had an internship or whatever they were doing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You don't get that anywhere else.
That's right.
In
yeah.
a lot of schools, you're just a number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
unless you can stand out some other kind of way, you're just a number.
What we do is
very intentional. We are very intentional about giving that level of confidence to our students. And we shape them, we drill them. Again, when you walk into a room, we've heard numerous stories where our students are in a collection of other, students from other universities, and we have what we've called our Howard introduction, and our students will stand up and say, I am, person X, Y, and Z from this is where I'm from, and this is my major, and blah, blah, blah. And you get that confidence from our students that you will not get from any other student in the country, regardless of what institution they come from.
That's right.
Everybody knows a Howard student when they see a Howard School of Business student when they see them.
That's right. We had the number one intern last year, Aaliyah Ellsworth, and I'm telling you, she was dynamite.
Yeah, she knocked it out of the park. She was great.
Every day. And I was so happy to have her in my shop for that whole year.
And we also have a commercial airing on every show highlighting the Howard University School of Business, Dr. Wilbon. So we want to make certain that everyone that listens to the show hears, about Howard University School of Business. And speaking of which, what does success look like for Howard University School of Business?
The School of Business, just like all other universities and schools of businesses, is going through an adaptation, which is required for us to be successful and competitive. And I think success right now looks in a way that we have to build ourselves to be what I deem as kind of academic entrepreneurs, meaning that we have to do the academic piece very well, which we do. We do the teaching, published research. That is something that we've done for a long time. One of the things that we have to fold in is to be a bit more entrepreneurial in how we go about the business of the School of Business, meaning that we have to build relationships with corporate entities that are going to allow our students to get what we're calling experiential learning, build that bridge between the theory and the practice. We have to get faculty who are more inclined to be involved with some of the practitioner-focused areas versus just the research. We have to engage more with social media and local governments. And in the case of what Carl's doing with the Small Business Development Center, we have to get our faculty more engaged with that. So we have to kind of build in a construct where we are change agents. We can take a few risks as a business school, as opposed to being traditional in our way about doing business. Be innovative and proactive and creative. All of these things we have to kind of fold into that if we're going to survive and adapt as a school of business.
Yeah, that's great. Well, you will survive, and the success I know will continue.
Absolutely. So what are some of the biggest challenges that the Howard University School of Business face?
Well, I mean, there are a few of them. As I mentioned, technology has been a significant challenge. We are faced with having to prepare our students with a skill set that is unique in so many different ways. A few of them are with regards to data analytics. All companies, regardless of what industry, are analyzing data in large quantities. So you hear these terms about big data or artificial intelligence, and taking data and using that to do forecast and understand your customers and and driving major decisions. So our students have to be developed with those skill sets. And so we're focused on inserting those kind of technologies and classes within the curriculum. I mentioned experiential learning. So we're trying to fold into the classrooms opportunities for students to practice what they're learning by bringing corporations into the classroom, giving students real world experiences, doing consulting assignments, for example, or working on projects throughout the academic year. And then there are a couple more, but I want to note at least one, and that is we're starting to focus a lot more on entrepreneurship and innovation, meaning that we really need to get our students prepared such that they can understand what it takes to start a business, what the risk might be in starting a business, how to go about identifying funding through either venture capitalists or other avenues, and just give our students an innovative mindset so that they may go out to work for somebody for 2 years or 3 years, but they always have in the back of the mind of their mind, you know, what do I need that I can start my own? What can I take from this experience that I can start my own and build my own business?
Yeah.
And so we're folding that into the curriculum now as much as we possibly can. We created a concentration about a year and a half ago on entrepreneurship, and we're trying to expand from there to fold that into the curriculum for all majors, regardless of what they're majoring in.
Oh, I think that's a wonderful idea.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, every major has an entrepreneurial part in it. Mm-hmm. If you're in the College of Fine Arts, at some point you're going to sell your paintings, or you're trying to sell yourself as a singer, a dancer, or an actor. So you know, you have to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah. You know? And we've had a couple of celebrities on the show, and they talk about, you know, it's really being your own business. It's your own brand. You're promoting your brand, and that's being a business owner. So I think that small business owner curriculum would definitely help students who, like you said, may not be, you know, becoming an entrepreneur as soon as they graduate, but 3 to 5 years down the road, if they decide to do that, they've already laid the foundation, and it makes it that much easier. And they may not be so risk averse, because we know being a small business owner is risky, but absolutely, also extremely rewarding.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah. And
we do that. You know, the School of Business has for years done very well giving students the skills they need to go into corporate America. We do that easily and very well. One of the things that we realized that we have not done as well as we could is giving that entrepreneurial spirit and infusing that into the students.
Yeah.
And so I think it's critical. But even if they don't start their own business, they can think entrepreneurial within the organization they're in.
That's right. Really,
that's right. That's right. But don't sell the school short, because what you do give all of those students is the confidence that they can do anything.
Yeah.
And so when they get into corporate America and they're attacked, because that's what happens, you know, they have the confidence to know, well, I know I'm a great student, or I was a great student, and I know I'm a great worker. Mm-hmm. So we build that confidence.
No doubt. No doubt.
Yeah. Well, we only have 30 more seconds, Dean Wilbon. Tell our listeners how they can get more information, or what website they should visit to get more information about the Howard University School of Business.
Absolutely. Well, the business school website is business.howard.edu.
Okay.
So it's newly refreshed and updated, so you can get all the information you need about all of our programs, departments, and centers. My contact information is on there, so feel free to reach out to me as well, and anyone in our leadership. We welcome all the opportunities to discuss what we're doing with the general communities as much as possible.
Wonderful. This has been a great show, hasn't it, Carl?
Oh, absolutely. So thank you so much, Dean Wilbon. I can't thank you enough for all that you do, with all the support that you give us every day while we're working at the DC Small Business Development Center.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Thank you, Carl and Sharon, for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah. Well, that's it, right, Carl?
Yes, ma'am. We'll be back next week with more information that is vital to help you grow your business.
Yep, here on the Small Business Report on Sirius XM, Channel 141, A2R Voices.
This has been Carl Brown and Sharon Morton giving you all the tools you need to succeed on the Small Business Report.
Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in next week at HUR Voices on Sirius XM channel 141. Please don't forget to like us on Facebook. And for more tips on starting, growing, and financing your business, visit us at thesmallbusinessreport.biz.